live from the historic parsonage of the 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27 verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now, here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Tuesday on this 18th day of May 2021. And I'm thrilled to have a first-time guest today that I so much enjoyed sharing a time of fellowship with over lunch not long ago, as he is a new pastor in town right here in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. His name is Jeremy Brandenburg, a former Army officer and the new pastor at Redeemer Orthodox Presbyterian Church of Carlisle, Pennsylvania. Today, our theme is going to be a former Army officer discusses making your neighborhood the front line of missions. And it's my honor and privilege to welcome you for the very first time ever to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Pastor Jeremy Brandenburg.
Well, thanks so much for having me, Chris. I'm still trying to figure out what convinced you to have me on, because my first audience that I spoke to today was during our family devotional, and there was not a lot of attention being paid to what I said. So,
Even if that is going to be the case today with our listening audience on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, we know God's listening.
Amen.
And that's all that matters. Audience of one. And so tell our listeners, first of all, about Redeemer Orthodox Presbyterian Church of Carlisle, Pennsylvania.
Right. Well, we're a little OPC congregation, Orthodox Presbyterian Church. I'm sure your listeners are, many of your listeners are familiar with our denomination. You know, our well-known founder, Jay Gresham Machen, broke away from the mainline Presbyterian Church back in the early 20th century, and the church, the denomination, has been growing little by little ever since, and our congregation dates back to, and I know some of the folks in my congregation are listening and are going to correct me if I get the dates wrong, but we've been around since about 2001, and it was a group that came together that was looking for, you know, a reformed liturgy. They were looking for a church that was faithful to the scriptures. And so there was a group of families that came together here in Carlisle. There's a pastor, an OPC pastor named John Van Meerbeck in Gettysburg, who helped another man who was very influential named Tom Tyson, longtime pastor in the OPC, who I'm reaping the benefits of his ministry in particular, I think. But our church is about 20 years old. We have about 90 people on a Sunday, and we sit. I've come to call Carlisle is unique, and it is a special place, but I've come to call it the land between the interstates. we're here between I-81 and 76, right, the turnpike. And so it's no coincidence that our church is close to one of those. We're right off of I-81 here on York Road.
A very major highway cutting across the United States that I have had a number of friends who are either traveling from the north to the south or vice versa, who have stopped by to visit me because they're on 81.
Right. And, you know, for my wife and I, it's really funny the way that God works. His interesting providence is because we've driven past Carlisle many times. I went to seminary outside of Philadelphia at Westminster, and we would drive 81 all the way down to Kentucky to visit my in-laws, Tim and Diane Shelley, and we would always pass by Carlisle, and sometimes we'd go through Carlisle because you're trying to get off of the turnpike and onto 81, and we never, ever thought that this is where the Lord would lead us, and but we are so happy to be here, and it really is a special place. The Christian community here is tremendous. I just came from a pastor's fraternal meeting at Grace Baptist led by Pastor John Miller. And
one of my pastors.
Right, right. So, I mean, we're this is not something we could have picked for ourselves, and so we're so grateful. It is a privilege to be here. It is a privilege to be a pastor, and I'm privileged to be a pastor of the wonderful people at Redeemer OPC.
Praise God, and I'm looking forward to our joint worship service on the evening of Sunday, May 30th.
Yeah.
6 p.m. to be precise, where our two congregations are going to be worshiping together at Grace Baptist Church of Carlisle, so that is going to be a joy.
Yeah, hopefully, again, you know, you invited me to do this. John Miller invited me to preach at their evening service. I'm not sure why, but hopefully it won't be my last invitation.
Well, if anybody wants to find out more about Redeemer Orthodox Presbyterian Church in Carlisle, Pennsylvania, go to RedeemerOPC.org, RedeemerOPC.org.
And thank you, Chris. And can I just say that anyone who is listening to your program, especially anyone who's within driving distance, please come visit us. We would love to. It would be an encouragement to us to have folks come and even just worship with us one Sunday. We have visitors coming. It's wonderful. We're getting back to normal, and I just invite anyone who's listening to your program to please come and worship with us one Sunday.
Great. And as I said, for those of you who are doing traveling this spring and summer, 81 is a very major highway cutting across the country from north to south, and it should be fairly easy for you to stop by for a visit if you're passing by Pennsylvania. And we would hope to hear good reports from Pastor Jeremy that some of our listeners have done so. So keep that in mind. Make a note of it somewhere and visit Redeemer OPC in Carlisle. And we have a tradition here on the show. Whenever we have a first-time guest, when that first-time guest is a Christian, there are rare occasions when we have a guest that is not a Bible-believing evangelical Christian, because they have something of importance to say to our audience nonetheless. But the vast majority of times we interview Christians, and when we have a first-time guest, we have them give a summary of their salvation testimony, which would include the kind of religious atmosphere, if any, you were raised in, and the kind of providential circumstances our sovereign Lord raised up in your life that drew you to himself and saved you. So if you could, give us your story.
Right. Now, thanks for asking. It's something we need to do more often these days, especially as we're living through trying times, and we need to give a reason for the hope that we have, because we do have a hope that is indestructible and unfading. I grew up going to a PCA church in Center City, Philadelphia, which, again, I'm sure many of your listeners are familiar with, 10th Presbyterian Church. When you're a little kid, you just think, well, this is what church is like. Every church is big with, you know, these massive balconies and these arches and this organ that's booming and everybody singing A Mighty Fortress Is Our God with, you know, gusto.
Many fond memories of 10th Presbyterian Church when I was a new Christian and attended for a number of years in a row the Philadelphia Conference on Reformed Theology when our dear brother James Montgomery Boyce was still on the earth before entering into glory with Christ.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he was, I did not know Dr. Boyce personally, obviously, I was a kid, but he was my pastor. I heard him preach week by week. Unfortunately, I didn't really start to pay attention until he was stricken with cancer, but I should maybe talk about that later. For me personally, you know, growing up, it was a Bible-believing church. It was a church where we were regularly told that we were sinners from a very young age. I actually remember one of my Sunday school teachers recounting how he was at a different church, different denomination, and they were teaching in Sunday school about, I think it was, he was referencing his mother who was a Sunday school teacher, and she was saying, telling the kids, these little kids, you know, you're sinners, your sins are an offense to God, these aren't just mistakes, and someone else said, oh, we can't tell them that, that's not, you know, that's too much for them. And no, we can, we have to. I tell my children that regularly. But I had a Sunday school teacher, Chris, when I was in first grade, who I distinctly remember, a wonderful woman, a very godly woman, who in class was sitting there with us, and really week by week she just laid out the gospel and, you know, reassured us and exhorted us to put our trust in Jesus Christ. And, you know, back then it was very, as is still very common today in the broader evangelical world, you prayed the prayer, you asked to receive Christ into your heart, and she said, you know, anyone who wants to do that can do that right here and now. And so I remember sitting there in first grade and thinking, I really need to do this. And, you know, we're, as a Reformed Christian, we obviously have an understanding that our salvation doesn't begin when we decide to follow Jesus or when we decide to ask him into our heart. Our salvation, beyond all that we could fathom or understand, began with the Lord's decree before time, that before the foundation of the world, the scriptures tell us, when God set his love on us. And I would say my testimony is, you know, I could share different stories along the way. It's probably one good one in the church context that would be helpful, but it's really my testimonies of being an object of God's mercy while knowing that because of my sin, I deserve the exact opposite. But because of Christ, God has been pleased and is still pleased to show his favor and his love and his affection to me. You know, I think I knew the 5 points of Calvinism before I could really evangelize or share the gospel well. And so another point in my upbringing that, you know, I referenced as far as my testimony and coming to understand the gospel, I was in church membership class. One of my classes was taught by Phil Reichen, now the president of Wheaton College.
Oh, yeah. I've had him on the program.
He's a wonderful, wonderful man.
He has definitely got a hard road ahead of him. He's already been on the hard road there at Wheaton, but man, oh, man.
Yeah, I think these were some of his probably more peaceful days back teaching membership class at 10th. But he taught one of our classes, but I remember during the final interview, there was, you know, a group of pastors sitting around, and, you know, they want to know that we have a genuine Christian testimony. And they got to me, and they asked you questions about your faith, and, you know, I remember kind of stumbling, and then there was a point where one of the pastors kind of zeroed in on me and said, Jeremy, what do you have to contribute to your salvation? You know, something like that. I'm paraphrasing, but that was essentially the question. What do you bring to the table in the God's work of salvation? And, you know, I almost felt stumped, but then I feel like it was the Holy Spirit helping me to speak the truth that I knew, and I just said, nothing, because that's the truth, isn't it, Chris, that what we bring to salvation is the debt and burden of our sin, our guilt, and our shame, and Christ is pleased to take it all upon himself.
Amen.
And give us new life.
In fact, I've even heard it put this way, and I think it's an excellent way. It may confuse people at first, but we are saved even from our own righteousness. We have to repent of that. We have to repent of holding on to anything within ourselves that we believe is making us pleasing to God, because there is nothing in and of ourselves that could ever merit an entrance into eternity with Christ. So,
yes. Yeah, great point. And it's hopefully I'll be able to reference the Westminster Confession a lot, because I think it's a tremendous document for any Christian, and obviously it's the standards that we hold to. But going through ordination exams, it was interesting, you know, being asked questions about good works and just going over what we profess that the Bible teaches regarding our good works, that, you know, the fruit of our Christian testimony, even those things are full of weaknesses and imperfections, but they're accepted for the sake of Christ. And so even our righteous acts are still insufficient, but God loves us, and he's saved us nonetheless.
Well, we've already said in our introduction of you that you are a former Army officer. Tell us when in your mind, perhaps even in your heart, did you begin to desire joining the military? And tell us about that experience, perhaps some of the highlights of it. And I typically ask a veteran on the show when I interview one how their experience and training as a member of the armed services has actually come to aid them in their walk with Christ.
Mm. Yeah, well, we could probably spend the whole rest of the show on that. That's a topic near and dear to my heart, obviously. I made the decision, I would say, like every little boy growing up, you want to be a firefighter or a police officer, a soldier. Somehow I always knew that I did have a grandfather who was into fishing, had a little boat, but I always knew the Navy was not for me. I'm kind of a land-based creature. So I was always geared towards the Army. So growing up in high school, this was, so 9/11, September 11th was very pivotal. You know, sitting in, chemistry class as a junior in high school. And it's like for the older generation, it was like when JFK died. You'll never forget where you were, when you heard it, you know, that entire day almost. Experiencing our nation actually get attacked was huge. And as a young man who was, you know, kind of pretty patriotic, cared about my country, was proud to be an American, that had a huge impact on the way I thought about the future and what I would do with my life. About a year later, a young man who had graduated from my high school and went to United States Military Academy at West Point came back to promote the school, and I listened to him talk for about 20 minutes, and I thought, well, that's where I want to go to school. And in God's providence, I got accepted and got a nomination and went there, and after 4 years graduated and was commissioned in the infantry. So that's, you know, that's the path that I took getting into the Army.
And how long have you served in the armed forces?
I was on active duty for 8 years, and now I'm currently a reserve officer. I am, transitioning out, you know, for the sake of being a full-time pastor, but, I've been serving, in some capacity since 2003 when I entered the military academy.
And your rank?
My current rank, I'm a major.
Great. Well, we are discussing something that sort of has a military flavor to it, because we are referring to the mission field here as the front line, and our theme is a former Army officer discusses making your neighborhood the front line of missions. And I know I'm going to probably butcher this story, but I, many years ago, heard a story that I heard confirmed was true by a number of scholarly Lutherans that I've spoken with. And the story is that a cobbler said to Martin Luther that he wanted to uproot his wife and children and move to a foreign land to serve as a missionary. And he asked Martin Luther what his advice was. And Luther said, well, you are a cobbler. Make a good shoe and sell it at a fair price. That's my recommendation for you. Now, obviously, Luther wasn't opposed to missionaries or anything like that.
Right.
But I think that there is a great bit of wisdom in this idea that people seem to have lost the concept of the fact that if you are a Christian, you should be a missionary, even if that means your own backyard, your own community, your own neighborhood. And in fact, it probably should be your neighborhood to begin with before you even consider entering into a foreign mission field. Does that make sense to you?
No, absolutely. I think more and more God is bringing the horizon. I mean, the horizon of missions is a lot nearer than we tend to talk about, especially in, I think, American Christian circles. But, you know, without derailing the conversation too much into current events, I think the what things that have happened over the past year for me have, and for many others, folks in our church and other Christians that I talk to, it's really brought home the fact that we are living in, you know, the last days. And I don't, when I say that, I don't mean that we have some type of knowledge of Christ returning next month, but we're living in the last days.
We just lost thousands of post-millennial listeners. I'm sorry, I'm just kidding.
It's all right. We welcome all millennial views, right? But you know, it's also so it's brought that home to me that this isn't just like some nebulous period when, you know, okay, Christ is going to come sometime. No, we know we're living in between the time when Christ ascended, Jesus suffered, he died, he rose again, he ascended, and he said he's coming again, and the church's prayer is come again soon, Lord Jesus. And you know, when people ask me about the COVID and the virus and everything, I try to say, well, biblically, Jesus said these things are going to continue to happen until the end comes and he returns. But it should shake us up, and I think for many people, it has shaken them up to the fact that we've been plodding along and thinking everything's okay, and things are not okay. This is a very trying time. This is a very difficult time. The church and individual Christians, families have been under tremendous pressure. And, you know, in God's grace and in God's goodness, by the power of the Holy Spirit, the church is going to be reanimated and re-energized with zeal to proclaim Christ. And you don't have to go overseas. You don't have to go to a big city. We need people in cities. We need people overseas. But we need people everywhere. We need Christians everywhere who are living faithfully and not ashamed. You know, I'm going to preach next Sunday evening at Grace from Romans 1, verse 16 and 17. Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. And we shouldn't be ashamed of the gospel. We shouldn't be ashamed of it in our own homes with our wives and our children. We shouldn't be ashamed of it in our workplace. We shouldn't be ashamed of it on the ball field. Wherever we are, this is our life. You've been sealed. If you're a Christian, you've been sealed by the Holy Spirit. And you belong to Jesus Christ, and you should be unashamed of telling people about him and why they need to know him.
Yeah, it is quite tragic that many of us, and I'm including myself, there are moments when we should be opening our mouths and proclaiming the gospel, and it's too much of an inconvenience for us, and we just keep our mouths shut. It could be almost anything, as little as not wanting to ruin a mood during dinner at a restaurant or something. You don't want to embarrass yourself in front of the waitress or waiter, or even if it has nothing to do with embarrassing yourself, you don't want to have somebody who's actually serving you food get angry with you for any reason.
Right.
And there are people who risked and actually gave their lives. There are Christians throughout history who have had the most gruesome of torturous deaths, even children who underwent this in defense of the gospel, even over things today that the more ecumenically minded Christian would say you're being ridiculous for wanting to divide over, and these are things that are actually a lot more crucial than these ecumenists may think they are. And one thing that actually saddens me is having been a Christian since the mid-80s, how many people I agree with theologically on Reformed doctrine, and these people are members of Reformed and confessional churches, and that yet they're ecumenists with Rome and so on. It makes no sense to me.
Yeah, I mean, I'm in favor of trying to make allies with people we can, you know, form relationships with, and cooperate. And but you know, we need to stand firmly on our convictions and not blur the lines of what it means to be a Christian and what the true gospel is.
Amen. And there was a Reformation for a reason, and obviously it is because Rome did not and does not have that gospel. And they made that even more clear after the Reformation at the Council of Trent, which was a specific response to the Reformation, where they anathematized or pronounced curses on those that would dare to believe in the key doctrines of the Reformation. Not only us, but we were definitely the primary targets in mind by the Council of Trent. We have to go to our first break right now. If anybody would like to join us with a question, you can email it to chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. And please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. That's chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. We'll be right back after these messages, so do not go away.
Back together again, yeah.
Hi, I'm Phil Johnson, host and executive director of Grace to You, the media ministry of John MacArthur. I hope you plan to join me and Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, for the G3 conference in Atlanta, Georgia, Thursday, September 30th through Saturday, October 2nd. The theme this year is Christ is Supreme Over All. My friend Chris Arnzen and I will be joined by several of our other friends, including Vody Balcom, Justin Peters, Daryl Bernard Harrison, Virgil Walker, and James White. More than 20 other speakers will be joining us, and the lineup this year includes my pastor, John MacArthur. For details, visit g3conference.com. That's g3conference.com. Chris Arnzen and I hope to see you September 30th through October 2nd at G3 2021. This is Phil Johnson reminding you that Christ is supreme over all.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005. The publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm author Gary DeMar, president of American Vision, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Dan Lebenick of West Hills Baptist Church in Huntington Station, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Justin Peters of Justin Peters Ministries, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Reverend Buzz Taylor, author of God's Lawsuit, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Dr. William Webster, pastor of Grace Bible Church in Battleground, Washington, founder of the ministry Christian Resources. The NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Ryan Galan of Central Islip Community Church in Central Islip, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Brandon Smith of Trinity Reformed Baptist Church in Jackson, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB and tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
The Wokeness and the Gospel Conference is coming to Denton Bible Church in Denton, Texas, June 11th and 12th. Register now by going online to wokenessandgospel.org. Featuring speakers such as Dr. Owen Strand.
If you just buy this ideology, the world's going to be made right. No, it's not. Only Jesus Christ makes the world right.
Daryl Harrison of the Just Thinking Podcast.
Sinners like you and me can be reconciled first and foremost to God and consequently to one another.
Pastor Tom Buck of First Baptist Church in Lindale, Texas.
Like Satan in the garden, woke hermeneutics undermines the very authority of the Word of God. I don't say that lightly.
Also hear from Tommy Nelson, Charles Stolfus, and Rodney Brown, confronting the lies being impressed upon the culture today, threatening even to divide the church, and answering with the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Wokeness and the Gospel Conference coming to Denton Bible Church, June 11th and 12th. Register online at wokenessandgospel.org.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnton is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written Word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
We are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family, Banu Gotti, owner of three New York pharmacies, Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists, and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead. Banu Gotti earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable on the current coronavirus pandemic. Please contact Dr. Gotti so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000. That's 516-354-2000. Or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's leesdrugsrx.com. Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program.
Greetings in the matchless name of our Lord Jesus Christ. My name is Banu Gotti. I'm a pharmacist in New York, which is the epicenter of the latest crisis the world is going through. In Psalm 139, verse 14, the psalmist offers praise to the Lord like this: I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and wondrous are your works that my soul knows very well. He saw God's goodness and mercy, kindness, and the beauty in what God has designed, and he has erupted into praise. In any crisis or problem, brothers and sisters, our only fallback position is to trust God's design. And once we do, there is nothing for us to do but to erupt in praise to him. When the whole world is searching for a solution, God, in his infinite mercy, has given us what we need to address this illness, which can be very serious. Such is the beauty of his design. Knowing that design, how can we not erupt in praise to our great God like the psalmist did? May God bless you and give all of us wisdom to see greater things in his design. Thank you.
And we want to thank Banu Gotti for renewing his annual sponsorship of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And I look forward to Dr. Gotti returning to this program as a guest. He has literally been rescuing people, some of whom were on the brink of death in the hospital from coronavirus, who had other very serious ailments before they had the coronavirus, such as diabetes. And some of them were just very elderly, and literally has been rescuing some of them just through a very high dosage of vitamin D3. And it is very notable that a pharmacist that could be seeking to profit financially by recommending expensive drugs during this whole catastrophe, he has been merely recommending very high doses of vitamin D3. And if anybody needs more information on Dr. Gotti's regimen, you can contact him at his pharmacy website. I'm sure that he will be more than happy to assist you. He has been on the phone for large numbers of hours with people in his homeland of India, where it has been a real nightmare over there. I think that he still will get to you as quickly as he can if you contact him. The website is leesdrugsrx.com, L-E-E-S drugsrx.com. And if you just tuned us in, our guest today is Pastor Jeremy Brandenburg of the Redeemer Orthodox Presbyterian Church right here in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. And we are discussing a former Army officer discusses making your neighborhood the front line of missions. And if you have questions, our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. I normally don't give the full name of a listener when they send in a question, but this is a brother in Christ that I have interviewed on this program and has also been a co-host with me on this program and has a ministry you should all be aware of. He's also, providentially, a member of Redeemer Orthodox Presbyterian Church. His name is Charlie Liebert, the founder of SixDayCreation.com. And by the way, Six Day Creation, the six is spelled out, S-I-X, it's not the number, SixDayCreation.com. He was actually co-hosting with me when I interviewed Ken Ham, the world-renowned young earth creationist. And Ken announced on the air that Charlie was the oldest living dinosaur. So... And Charlie was a colleague of Ken's a number of years ago. But Charlie actually has two questions.
Okay.
He says, what kind of research will you do to define opportunities to reach out to Carlisle, Pennsylvania with the gospel?
Well, hello, Charlie and Terry. I love you both. So fortunate to have you in our congregation. As you mentioned, Chris, Charlie, there's many, you know, smaller providences than us coming to Redeemer, and it was really through the ordination. If I could just talk for a minute about the six-day creation, I really appreciate Charlie's emphasis on that, because it was really through seminary that I had to start. You know, before seminary, you have general views, you have a Christian faith and a Christian testimony, but going into the pastorate, you have to be very specific. And, you know, when you're examined, they ask you, okay, where do you come down the creation issue? And, you know, after investigating it and really thinking through it and praying through it and studying and reading and consulting with other pastors and, you know, professors, I've come to hold the six-day literal view. You know, some people would say, oh, that's, you know, you're just conforming to what the majority opinion is, and that's fine. But I think for when I explain it to people, for me as a pastor, I believe the Bible. I believe it's true. I believe all of it is true and inspired. And through seminary, I really came to understand and appreciate through solid teaching that the whole gospel is Genesis to Revelation. And you, when you look at specifically the way the Apostle Paul talks about the first and second Adam, the way the biblical writers handle the whole scope and sweep of Revelation, biblical revelation, the God's self-revelation, that is, it's all true. We can't pick and choose what's, you know, what we think is true and what's not based on our current cultural situation. So I think this is actually a really important issue. Creation and science are always hot-button issues, but I think the church is going to be pressed more and more to kind of clarify its position. Do we believe the Bible? Do we believe, are we afraid of being labeled fundamentalists for having a six-day view? Because I believe that's what the Bible teaches. How do you explain it? Yeah, we all struggle to explain it. I struggle to explain it to my children. Okay, dinosaurs, and how does that all fit in? But this is what God's Word says, and at the end of the day, we should have full faith and assurance that this is true, and we can unashamedly teach this and hold to this, because this is what God has revealed about how he made the world. So I really appreciate Charlie and his ministry. As to the question about the research that I'll do, well, Charlie, you'd be happy to know that I've already started to do research. Part of the research I'm doing is just, you know, to use the technical terminology, I guess, is to kind of look at the sociological outlines and the demographic outlines of the community. I'm trying to wrap my mind around who lives in Carlisle, what are the different communities, their makeup, to begin to understand how to reach out to those groups. You know, we're a small church, but we want to be a church that welcomes everyone. One of the communities I've started to reach out to is the baseball community. I've been coaching Little League. And let me tell you, Chris, I don't know if you've been around the Little League in this area or gone to any Little League games, but Little League is a big deal in central Pennsylvania. You look at, you know, for example, Williamsport is home of the Little League World Series, and just in the short time, I mean, this is the first season, we just moved here, but people take Little League very seriously around here, and I'm very happy to report that our team, the Golden Dragons, won our first game last night, and we're getting towards the end of the season, so that was very helpful. But, you know, I mentioned that in all seriousness to say that I think part of the research and the understanding of the community just comes with time and with getting to know people and understand what people hold to be important, what they value, how they spend their time. I guess I'll have to learn about a lot more about cars, because Carlisle, as you know, is home to car show after car show.
Yeah, nine a year.
Someone from my church actually just told me a story how they went to one of the more recent car shows, which it's interesting how the car show community is a little bit more resilient, because I don't think they ever stopped having car shows. You got to maintain your car, and you got to keep working on your classic car, I guess. But a dad and his son from my church said they walked around for 3 hours at a car show to find parts for his car that his son's building, and they found a gasoline cap. There's got to be some type of sermon illustration in there.
Well, it's actually refreshing to hear that your team, little worried about the name, the Golden Dragons, but I'll just put that aside. I'm glad to hear that your team actually won its first game, but I actually would have been possibly equally happy to hear that the other team won. The reason why I'm emphasizing the word won, W-O-N, is because not every Little League, not every Little League, I guess I should emphasize the word league, has been even announcing anyone a winner or even keeping score.
Right.
This whole politically correct nonsense has crept into every sphere of life. Even Little League and the sporting events of children, where they don't want to hurt anyone's feelings,
Right.
And therefore, don't keep score. And that's not helpful for kids to be prepared for the world, is it?
No. But the thing is, we, you know, at the younger ages, it is kind of helpful to be focused on the skill building, but still, everybody knows, everybody's keeping track. The parents are keeping track, the coaches are keeping track, the kids are keeping track. And there's something, even I was thinking about it, you know, always trying to go back to scripture, and the Apostle Paul talks about winning. He talks about competing in the race and competing to win, to get the prize. And, you know, I thought about trying to communicate that to the kids in terms of this. We are competing. Whether you end up going to the, you know, high school, baseball, college, minor league, majors, whatever, it's a paradigm for life, because we're all doing something. We're all image bearers, and we're all walking through life destined to one of two places. And the Apostle Paul, I really love the way that, inspired by the Holy Spirit, the Apostle Paul talks about it in such vivid language of fighting the good fight and running to win the prize, because there is a prize, and the prize is worth our all. And, you know, even doing things like Little League, one of the things I said to the kids is, you know, it's Little League, it's baseball. Don't take it too seriously, have fun, but do it with everything you've got. So believe me, we're coaching to win. We want the kids to be encouraged, but we're teaching them to be, to try hard and to have fun, but to win.
Great. And of course, as much as I am in favor of competition not being erased from these things, I am opposed to some of the idiots who are parents who scream profanities at little children during these games. I don't know if you've experienced any of that.
Thankfully we have. I've heard those stories, but thankfully we have. We've had some intense parent-child interactions, but thankfully nothing that bad. Also, when you tell people that you're a pastor, they know how it goes. People tend to kind of brush up their language a little bit and be more self-conscious about the things that they say. So.
And Charlie has a second question. As a new pastor in a city you just moved to, how will you plan your evangelism approach to the community? And by the way, Charlie, you are aware that Jeremy has been installed as your pastor. This is not a this is not a part of the interview, I hope, that you're doing. Anyway, as a new pastor, how do you plan your evangelism?
Chris, I think since Charlie's asking these questions, I think he's nominated himself to teach an evangelism class. So I think that's going to be part of the plan. If I could answer that question, but come back really quickly to one thing about the research to be a little bit more serious, even though I love Little League and it is important to me and it is a real way to outreach and get to know people. But I'm also researching, so I subscribe to the Sentinel, local paper. A great way to get the news and views. And one of the things I saw in the local paper, which, you know, piques my interest as a pastor and reformed person, trying to look at the world and assess things. And so I don't know if you've heard this, but Carlisle Borough, Carlisle's not a huge city by any means, maybe 20,000 to 30,000, it's growing, but Carlisle Borough has passed a resolution to initiate a Truth and Reconciliation Commission. I don't know what they'll do. It could be like a lot of things in government, a lot more talk than action. But I'm interested. I'd like to go and sit down on some of the meetings because, as you know, the Bible says a lot about truth and reconciliation, and I'm eager to, in an appropriate, in a loving, we use the term winsome. I think we should be winsome. I think we should also be bold and leave the consequences of things to God. But I'd like to go to these meetings and share at the appropriate time what the Bible says about reconciliation. That God is concerned about reconciliation more than we could possibly imagine. He sent his only begotten Son to reconcile the world to himself through his life, death, and resurrection. So I want to move forward on all levels. Obviously, I'm one man. We're one church. We have limited time, but all of this is important to me. And, yeah, so to get to the question that Charlie asked about evangelism, well, as Charlie's probably already noticed, I'm kind of scattershot, a little bit scatterbrained. I kind of go at unequal pace and distance in life in general, and some of the things I've been doing recently is just getting to know the people around the church, our neighbors in our church community. We're getting to know our neighbors in our own community. That's part of our evangelism strategy. And, you know, for my wife, God has blessed me with a wonderful, loving, and amazing wife. I tell people God's greatest gift to me, apart from his son, is my beautiful wife, Courtney, with a K, and our four children. And, you know, we're doing this together. Courtney is, my effectiveness in life is the fruit of having a wife who is loving and gracious, and so part of what we're doing together as a couple is to, you know, seek to invite people into our homes and make our home little by little a place that where we're having hospitality and inviting people in and opening up our lives and, you know, trying to love people in both deed and in truth. As the scriptures say, and that's because we think that's part of what the gospel is. We both have read this book by a woman that I think has actually endorsed your program, even Rosaria Butterfield.
Oh, yeah, she's been on the program several times.
Yeah, I never met Rosaria, but really appreciate her and her husband.
Gospel comes with a house key, is that?
The gospel comes with a house key. Someone, a professor in seminary, described her book as hospitality for Navy SEALs.
In fact, pick up right where you left off there, because we have to go to our midway break right now.
Okay.
And please be patient, folks, because the midway break is always a little longer than the other breaks in the show, because Grace Life Radio, 90.1 FM in Lake City, Florida, is required to take a longer break in the middle of the show, because the FCC requires them to localize all of their programming, including Iron Sharpens Iron, geographically to Lake City, Florida. And they do so by airing their own public service announcements and other local things that achieve that goal of localizing the show. And while they do that, we simultaneously air our globally heard commercials. So please use this time wisely. Write down as much of the information as you can for as many of our advertisers as you can so that you can more frequently and successfully respond to them. And that either means patronizing them by purchasing their products, using their services, visiting their churches, or supporting their parachurch organizations. But when you can't do that, or any of those, please at least respond to our advertisers and thank them for sponsoring the show, if indeed you do love the show and do appreciate the fact that they are keeping us on the air. Remember, we are absolutely and positively in need of our advertisers to exist, because the finances that come through these advertisements is absolutely essential for our existence. So please respond to our advertisers and make sure you will do that by writing down as much of the information that you can that they provide. And also send in questions to Pastor Jeremy Brandenburg on making your neighborhood the front line of missions. And that's chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. Don't go away. We'll be right back after these messages from our sponsors.
I'm James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. My friend Chris Arnson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and I are headed down to Atlanta, Georgia once again for the G3 Conference. This year's G3 will be held Thursday, September 30th through Saturday, October 2nd on the theme, Christ is Supreme Over All. I'll be joined by over 20 other speakers and musicians to lead in the worship of God through preaching, teaching, and singing, including John MacArthur, Phil Johnson, Conrad Mbewe, Daryl Bernard Harrison, and Virgil Walker. For details, visit g3conference.com. That's g3conference.com. Chris Arnson and I hope to see you September 30th through October 2nd at G321. This is James White reminding you that Christ is supreme over all.
Here's what Gary DeMar, president of American Vision, had to say about Iron Sharpens Iron Radio recently.
Good to be back, Chris. I always enjoy our time. I have to say, you're one of the better interviewers
out there, and I've been doing this for more than 30 years.
Wow, that's some compliment. How much do I owe you for that?
You don't have to owe me anything, so we're in good shape.
I'm glad you said it on the air, so I don't have to brag about myself.
Tell your friends and loved ones about Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, airing live Monday through Friday, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time at ironsharpensironradio.com.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so, and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White at the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Anchored in Truth Ministries is the mission arm of Grace Life Church of the Shoals. Based in Alabama, it supports missionaries in over 13 countries around the world. Anchored in Truth is in partnership with 36 church plants, as well as radio stations, theological seminaries, and various programs for unreached people groups. With an aim to glorify God and reach the nations with the gospel, it is a blessing to see how God has used Anchored in Truth in so many different contexts globally as well as locally. To find out more about this vital work worldwide, visit anchoredintruth.org.
As host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I frequently get requests from listeners for church recommendations. A church I've been strongly recommending as far back as the 1980s is Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn.
Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how he shall be worshipped and how he shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. Grace Covenant Baptist Church endeavors to maintain a God-centered focus, reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God. Singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, baptism, and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship, performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey at gcbcnj.squarespace.com. That's gcbcnj.squarespace.com. Or call them at 908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn that you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York, and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnson has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, so don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reformed Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, if you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Avinio, and thanks for listening.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Hi, I'm Buzz Taylor. Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio has had a long-time partnership with our friends at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. They specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable for everyone. CVBBS has been a family-owned book service since 1987, operating out of Carlisle, Pennsylvania. They seek to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. Unlike other book sites, they make no effort to provide every book that is available or popular because, frankly, much of what is being printed is not worth your time. That means you can get to the good stuff faster. It also means you don't have to worry about being assaulted by the pornographic, heretical, and otherwise faith-insulting materials promoted by the secular book vendors. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence at Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Order online at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Or you can order by phone at 1-800-656-0231. That's 1-800-656-0231. Please let our friends at CVBBS know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
The Wokeness and the Gospel Conference is coming to Denton Bible Church in Denton, Texas, June 11th and 12th. Register now by going online to wokenessandgospel.org. Featuring speakers such as Dr. Owen Strand.
If you just buy this ideology, the world's going to be made right. No, it's not. Only Jesus Christ makes the world right.
Daryl Harrison of the Just Thinking Podcast.
Sinners like you and me can be reconciled first and foremost to God and consequently to one another.
Pastor Tom Buck of First Baptist Church in Lindale, Texas.
Like Satan in the garden, woke hermeneutics undermines the very authority of the Word of God. I don't say that lightly.
Also hear from Tommy Nelson, Charles Stolfus, and Rodney Brown, confronting the lies being impressed upon the culture today, threatening even to divide the church, and answering with the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Wokeness and the Gospel Conference coming to Denton Bible Church, June 11th and 12th. Register online at wokenessandgospel.org.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And never forget, folks, how vital solid-ground-books.com is to the survival of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. They are a primary, a premier, a vital, a key sponsor of this broadcast. And without their continued advertising and financial support, we would likely have to go off the air, barring a financial miracle from God. So please visit solid-ground-books.com frequently and purchase generously. And remember, you're not only going to be doing solid-ground-books.com a favor by purchasing books from them, and you're not only going to be doing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio a favor by keeping a key advertiser happy, you're going to be doing yourself and anyone for whom you are purchasing gifts from solid-ground-books.com an enormous favor of incalculable value, because they bring back into print and even publish new titles that are among the finest in literary treasures from the Reformed faith, spanning the centuries from the Reformation to today, and coming from not only Reformed Baptist sources and authors, but Presbyterian and Reformed Anglican and Reformed Congregationalist and all those great men and women of God throughout the ages who have proclaimed in an unwaveringly committed fashion the doctrines of sovereign grace. So go to solid-ground-books.com and always mention that you heard about them from Chris Arnson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Before I return to our guest today, Jeremy Brandenburg, and our discussion on a former Army officer discusses making your neighborhood the front line of missions, we just have some important announcements to make. You've been hearing the G3 conference ads. The G3 conference is one of my very favorite events, if not my very favorite of all events that I have been attending annually. This will be my fourth year in a row manning an exhibitor's booth for Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in Atlanta, Georgia, at this conference. But you've been hearing these ads, and they have been mentioning, some of them, that Vody Balcom is scheduled to be on the roster. Well, as some of you know, and as some of you don't know, Vody, since originally being placed on the roster of this conference, he has since suffered from a serious health setback, and he required quadruple bypass surgery. And he definitely is recovering, and there seems to be very positive signs of him regaining health and strength, but he is still not out of the woods, and therefore there is a question mark next to his name as to whether he will be able to speak at the G3 conference. So please pray for the full recovery of Vody Balcom, not only so he could be on the roster at the G3 conference, but infinitely more importantly, so that his wife and many children will continue to be blessed by his presence for many years to come, and the body of Christ will continue to be blessed by his presence for many years to come as well. If anybody wants to join me at the G3 conference, go to g3conference.com, g3conference.com for the details. It will be held in Atlanta, Georgia, from September 30th through October 2nd. Also, folks, if you love this show, please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You could donate instantly with a debit or credit card in that fashion. If you prefer snail mail, mailing checks the old-fashioned way through the postal services, well, be my guest. A physical address will appear on your screen as well when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com, and you can mail your checks made payable to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio there. You can also advertise with us as long as whatever it is you desire to promote is compatible with what we believe. You don't have to believe exactly as I do, but you need to be promoting something that is at the very least compatible with what I believe. Well, if that is the case, please send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. Also, folks, please remember that I don't want my listeners siphoning money away from their regular giving to their own local church where they are a member in order to give to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Please don't do that. In other words, don't punish your church financially by blessing us financially. This program primarily exists as being a platform for pastors to bless local churches, and also a platform for any theologically sound theologian or scholar. And it is the farthest thing from my mind to, in any way, hurt a church, especially a sound, Bible-believing church. So please, do not siphon money away from giving to your church. And also, don't plunge your family into further financial peril and jeopardy if you're really struggling to survive by donating to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Those two things are commands of God. Providing for your church and providing for your family and providing for Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is not, obviously, a command of God. But if you love the show and you are financially blessed above and beyond your ability to provide for your church and family, you have extra money collecting interest in the bank, you have extra money for recreational purposes and trivial purposes, and you're looking for ways to use that benevolently, well, please, if you love this show and don't want us to go away, go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now, and purchase frequently and generously. And I thank all of you who have been doing that all the way back since 2005 when we first launched, and also our very new recent donors who have been giving for the first time. I thank God for all of you more than I can possibly describe in the English language. And I am so grateful to you and grateful to God for you. You have enabled us to remain on the air, and I cannot exaggerate how blessed I am to know that so many of you truly value this show. Also, folks, if you are not a member of a local Bible-believing church, a biblically faithful, theologically sound church, no matter where on the planet Earth you live, I have lists of biblically faithful churches spanning the globe, and I have helped many people in our audience, not only in all 50 states of the United States, but even all over the world. I have helped people find churches, sometimes within a few minutes of their own homes, that they didn't even know existed or that they didn't know were theologically sound. They may have been passing these buildings every day and not even realizing that the churches were theologically faithful. So if you are in that category of being in need of a church, no matter where you live, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com, and put "I need a church" in the subject line. That's also the email address where you can send in a question to Jeremy Brandenburg, pastor of Redeemer Orthodox Presbyterian Church of Carlisle, Pennsylvania. As we continue to discuss, a former Army officer discusses making your neighborhood the front line of missions. Before our midway break, you were beginning to mention a tool you are using, and that happens to be a book by my dear friend Rosaria Champagne Butterfield. The Gospel Comes with a House Key. And if you want to pick up where you left off, and then I'll read to you a listener question that actually involves something that Charlie asked you about before the break.
Okay. Yeah, no, my wife and I were both deeply impacted by Rosaria's book and by her testimony. And, you know, basically what she's describing is making your home a place of welcoming people, feeding people, fellowshipping and worshiping God together. Nothing of what she described. I think, you know, her personal intensity level is certainly something that most of us are not going to replicate. She's a very high functioning person, but, she was a university professor of English. but.
Don't stop there. I mean, she was a lesbian and she was a Marxist, a leftist.
Right.
And I'm not saying anything that she wouldn't say in her description of herself in her in her former life before Christ, obviously. You go ahead.
She relates in I think a couple of her books about how important community was, being part of the gay community, and how people, relationships, and having a place to go, a refuge, a sanctuary, how important and vital that was. And so that's something in God's grace that has been transformed, and she's writing in this book about these different experiences. And I think, you know, for me reading that, and I think for my wife, Courtney, we're kind of in a good way jealous or envious of those experiences, because that the grace that God gave Rosaria Butterfield is the grace that He gives to each one of us in Christ. And, you know, we all have a place where we live. We've been blessed to be able to buy a home here. Praise God for that. And if you're a Christian, your home is a blessing to you personally. It's a blessing to your family. It's a place to be enjoyed. It's a place to be stewarded properly. But your home is a place to open and share the welcome of Christ, as is the church. But if you look at, it's very interesting in Scripture, Chris, when you look at the qualifications, no matter what your ecclesiology, what your polity, how you approach, you know, how the church runs, where you go, we all have the same Bible, right? And one of the qualifications for overseers, elders, deacons, is hospitality. And so it's actually, biblically, it's a requirement that officers in the church, ministers and elders, are opening their homes, are being generous with their time and their resources. And you know, it's something that people want to see. They want to see, okay, I come to your church for an hour and a half, and the service might be great. That's wonderful, but, you know, what else? As I've been kind of discipled and catechized into the Reformed faith, I've gained a higher and higher view of the Lord's Day, because I think it's biblical, and I've been persuaded of that both through, you know, teaching and through experiencing hospitality from other believers in the church. And you know, it really matters when you know that you have a place to go to worship God, and then you have a family of God, a group of Christians who love you and welcome you into their home and share their life with you. It's more than just a place to, you know, go and spend an hour and a half on Sunday. It is the family of God, and that's what the church is biblically. It's the household of God. It's a group of people who have been united first by the Holy Spirit in faith in Jesus Christ, and united to one another to live together in a particular place. You know, I can't, there's all those amazing pastors who've endorsed your program who have great teaching ministries, and many people from my church listen to them. I can't be like those guys, but I can be the guy here in Carlisle to come to your home and pray with you, or to have you into my home and share a meal, and to talk and get to know one another and to watch one another and see how God is working in our lives. You know, it's so important that we as Christians, we hear the gospel, we believe the gospel. We need to be with each other, to walk with each other, and to see how God is working by the power of the Spirit in each one of our lives, and to see over time how we're bearing fruit and how we're persevering, and how, especially recently, through really difficult times, I think everyone, every professing Christian would say that their church community became so much more, they realized they were taking church for granted, and through what's happened this past year and, you know, being away from church and being separated, we really have been given in God's grace a renewed appreciation for fellowship and spending time with one another.
You reminded me when you were saying that you'll never be like some of the famous ministry leaders that have endorsed the show. You reminded me of when I was a young man in my 20s seeking for truth. And before I became truly born again, before I visited Calvary Baptist Church in Amityville, which was a Reformed Baptist church. It no longer exists by that name. It merged with First Baptist Church of Merrick, New York, and became Grace Reformed Baptist Church of Long Island. But before I had providentially visited Calvary Baptist, where I eventually got saved, I was visiting a little Pentecostal church in Lindenhurst, Long Island. And the pastor there, I'm not really sure where he truly stands with the Lord, but he was a bit of a colorful character, to put it mildly. But he said something that still echoes in my mind today, because there is truth behind it. And he said this, I think he might have even been standing on the front pew and yelling this, but he was upset that to learn that there were a number of people in the church that were giving a great deal of their finances to the famous television evangelists and other ministries, and kind of cutting their own church out of the loop. And I can remember him yelling, "Jimmy Swaggart's not going to be holding your hand in the hospital when you're sick, and Pat Robertson's not going to be weeping with you at the graveside of your loved ones. We're doing that as your pastors." And as comical as the event may have been, with him screaming this on a pew, there was truth behind that. And that's actually one of the reasons that I make my caveat in regards to donating to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I don't want to punish the church. But God has placed you in Carlisle by his sovereignty, and he intends to use you there for as long as he wants to use you there. And as far as the people who are in that flock, you are their under-shepherd, and nobody outside of that congregation is more important to them than you. Only God himself, of course. We have a listener in Perry County, Pennsylvania, named Arnie, and Arnie wanted some clarifications on Charlie's question, and he says, "I'm sure that Charlie nor you did not mean by the planning on how to evangelize your local area in the same way that those who are trapped in seeker-sensitive ideology mean it. There are churches that have gone and done research about the things that appeal to the local community and other things that may be very key to a description of the local community. And they cater to those things by changing the gospel message to make it more appealing and changing the way and manner with which they worship so that they will be a more inviting place for the lost in that area. I am sure, being a Orthodox Presbyterian, that you do not view those plans that way, but if you could, just clarify."
Yeah, sure. Appreciate the question. If we're changing anything, you know, Lord willing, we're changing. We talk about the norming norm. The Bible is the norm that norms all other norms. We're always, when we say we're reformed, we're trying to reform back to the Scriptures. So if we're changing as a church, we're trying to bring ourselves more into line with what the Bible says about the church and its worship and her witness. As far as seeker sensitive, I don't think if you came to our church, you know, some people always have their quibbles. They don't like this or they don't like that. But our church, we try to have capture. If you ask folks from our church, they love the liturgy, and I love the liturgy, and it was really an indication of the kind of the match, the Lord's hand in bringing me here, because we're a church that has the Lord's Supper weekly. Believe it's biblical. We have the singing of psalms and of hymns. We have the great Trinity Psalter hymnal that our denomination recently did with the URC that I'm trying to gently encourage Pastor John Miller and Omani to look at, because it really is a tremendous worship resource.
I'm sure you do know that we do have psalters as well as hymnals.
Yes, yes. No, that's a great clarification. You guys have your psalters, but you're also using the old Trinity Blue hymnal. So,
right.
So if it's seeker sensitive to have the Trinity Psalter hymnal, then I guess we stand convicted. But no, we don't. We are a church that's committed to Reformed liturgy according to the Scriptures. We say and recite the creeds of the faith, the Nicene Creed, the Apostles' Creed, and we have expository preaching, praying in the power of the Spirit for God's glory and the needs of the saints. So if anything is seeker-sensitive, Chris, we have some amazing ladies who have restarted our hospitality ministry at the church, and we have coffee and some delicious things to eat after the service. But I don't think anyone would turn those down.
Yes, and I think that the question was very legitimate because, as you probably know, those things do happen quite regularly. In fact, I can even remember a friend of mine who is not Reformed visiting the church where I was a member on Long Island, and he was so dismayed because I can't believe you people are singing the old hymns. How boring and how devoid of a worshipful spirit those old, dusty, antiquated hymns are. You're not going to draw people into the church with that stuff. And I said, well, we're going to draw people into the church that truly love and want to adore God, who aren't looking for entertainment. There is that mindset of just wanting to see numbers grow, but people are very often, or churches, I should say, are very often filling their seats with goats. And you have these people who have been accepted into fellowship and even membership who are not even regenerate. There is a saying, I don't know if my friend Dr. James R. White coined the phrase, but I know that he has repeated it often, that which you draw people with is what you draw them to. And you're not going to be doing anybody a favor by catering to the appetites of a lost individual. Am I making sense here?
No, absolutely. I think the church needs to become, I think what's encouraging to me is to see that even in the broader Reformed world, there is a greater appreciation for singing psalms, for historic Orthodox Christian worship. And by Orthodox, I mean small o, just looking at the way the church has worshiped throughout history and having an appreciation for the fact that Christianity wasn't invented in the year, 1995. The Christian church has been doing this, worshiping the risen Lord for 2,000 years, and we should be very humble as we approach how we worship. But the church should also be confident that when someone comes into the church, a new person, it's okay that they're a little uncomfortable. Because, first of all, if they're not a believer, then they're going to be made very uncomfortable hearing about the weight of their sin and the fact that, apart from Christ, they're going to spend an eternity in torment and separation from the Lord and under his wrath and curse. That's a really sobering and serious thing, and you're going to hear that if you come to our church, and you need to hear that if you go to any Christian church. So, seeker-sensitive or not, if you're talking about that, I definitely appreciate the question, though, because, to bring in to reference our current cultural moment, I was very discouraged to hear a very well-known pastor say recently, I read this in a Christian blog online, Christian news site, this pastor was saying, megachurch pastor was saying, you know, we do five things as a church. Worship is just one of those. We do, you know, we do all these other things. We feed the poor and we, you know, disciple. And I just thought, I mean, as I look at the scriptures, Chris, worship is what is the primary and the ultimate thing. It's the goal. It's what we're going to be doing for all of eternity in heaven. And so we take worship very seriously. And it's what we should be doing, not just on Sunday, but also in our homes, individually, as families, wherever we find ourselves as believers. If you're a college student, you should be gathering with other Christians in your dorm, in your college housing. If you're in the military, we have people in our church serving in the military. If you're in the military, you should be gathering with other believers and seeking to find fellowship and worship God together. You want to see the kingdom of God expand, and get a group of Christians together, read scripture, and sing, and the devil is going to be running scared.
Amen. And I'm sure you would agree, again, I'm here quoting my friend James White, but he is one of my most brilliant friends. but he has said how disappointed he has been when he is a guest speaker somewhere, and after the music has stopped, a music leader or a pastor will ascend into the pulpit a lot of times and say, now that our worship portion of the day has concluded, it's time to hear our guest speaker preach. And James is always upset by that, because the church, obviously approaching things that way, doesn't realize that the preaching of the gospel is probably the most important element of worship.
Yes.
It doesn't cease to be worship when the preacher starts to preach.
No, because you're supposed to be listening. You're supposed to be doing something.
Right.
That's why we pray before the sermon, because we should have our ear. We need God to turn our ears on and open our hearts. It's actually, you know, one of the things that we talked a lot about in seminary. What is happening during the service? It's actually something that's a depiction of the gospel, because during the sermon, okay, you're sitting there, but you're listening. Essentially, you are passive. But something is happening. You are hearing and receiving the truth, the whole counsel of God, the whole gospel of what God has done in the person of his Son. It speaks to, in a larger way, how in the gospel we were dead in our trespasses and sins, as we read in Ephesians, and how it was God who comes to each one of us by his word and spirit and makes us alive together with Christ. So even sitting there, you know, you say, oh, to say that this is not part of our worship. No, it is, because you're giving glory to God, because in your salvation, you come with your sin and your weakness and your inability, and God comes with all the fullness of his love and power and grace in Jesus Christ our Lord.
And by the way, as far as our hymnal, if you can convince Great Commission Publications to adopt a Baptist version of the hymnal with the Psalms, then perhaps we'll consider.
Well, we've united with the Reformed Church, the Dutch, you know, coming out of the Dutch tradition. So, hey, why not just in the next edition add a Baptist version?
Right. And while you're at it, if you're going to be trying to convince Pastor John of something, have Grace Baptist switch to the New American Standard Bible, since they do sponsor my program.
Okay. I'll work on that one too.
We have Susan Margaret in Dauphin County, Pennsylvania, who asks, as far as approaching your community as a mission field, don't you think we must always remember that it is not only a mission field, but it is a battlefield as well, because we are facing unseen powers, powers of darkness, when we are bringing the gospel to the world. I am not saying that we should be just filled with harsh polemic to those that are lost around us, as some fundamentalists might do. But at the same time, those that have a completely mission-minded understanding of a mission field without recognizing it's a battle may be overly soft in their approach to bringing the gospel and never mention things like sin, repentance, and hell. Don't you think these two things must be wedded together? And being a man of military experience, I wonder if anything in your mindset would be a part of that approach.
Right. Well, thank you for the question, Susan. Not very far away over there in Dauphin County, beautiful part of this state, as I'm coming to find out. Well, when I say mission field, I'm thinking, yes, you know, in terms of how the church has understood the work of missions, but when I hear the word mission, I am, unfortunately, as a former infantry officer, it's always in my mind the context and the meaning and that it has in the military, where a mission is, you get a mission, you better accomplish it. That's your sole focus. We have a mission. We have a commission from the King of Kings. And Susan's exactly right. We are in a battlefield. That's all I referenced earlier about, you know, the athletic references that we see in Paul's epistles. But there's also references to the warfare, the battle that we're engaged in as believers. And we know that, very importantly, we distinguish we're in a spiritual battle. We're not, when I mentioned going to the borough council meetings, that's a battlefield. There's a truth being put forward there. There's a set of beliefs being espoused. And we know that, you know, first of all, that these are people made in God's image, men and women, and regardless of how much we disagree with them, we still relate to them and speak to them in a way that is glorifying to God. You know, one of the things that's been cited to me a lot over the past year in different conversations with believers about approaches to how the church responds during a time of pandemic and what we should do, how we should operate, people have cited Romans 13. And I believe Romans 13, just like everyone else, we should submit to the government. The Christian community in Carlisle, for example, we should be the best citizens. We should pay our taxes. We should be kind to one another. We should be polite. But we should also speak the truth, because that's what we're here for. If you live here in Carlisle, if you live in Dauphin, God has placed you there as a witness to his son, Jesus Christ, and as one who should be a bright and shining lamp, salt and light in the world. And so to get real specific, yes, we absolutely should tell people about sin and hell. I think it's something, you know, Chris, I have a really good friend who lives in Northern Ireland, who I went to seminary with, and we were kind of reflecting the last few months, since both of us have started into ministry, about our seminary experience. And there's many, many, many things we appreciate. I commend seminary to anyone who is seeking the ministry. It's especially where I went. I feel equipped. I feel like I have the resources to study for a lifetime. But sadly, we both kind of recognized that we had never had a class on hell. I had never had even a single lecture. Maybe I missed it. We had two children in seminary. I might have been absent. So, you know, don't hold it against them. But I never had a single lecture about the doctrine of hell.
Wow. That's disturbing.
It is. And, I mean, our denomination takes it very seriously. We had a pastor deposed for his beliefs about hell, his doctrine. Someone held to the doctrine of annihilationism. We don't need to get into all that. But all that to say, to answer Susan's question, we need to, if what we believe is true, and it is, Jesus Christ is risen from the dead, and people already have a relationship with Jesus Christ, because they either have come to believe and to trust in him and have been born again, or they have rejected him and they're opposed to him and they're under Satan's dominion and power, and that's a real thing. You go into someone's life, and yes, the effects of sin appear differently in different people's lives. You know, you can see the people walking around the street who are addicted to drugs and out of their minds, and you say, oh, we can, like the man in chains in the book of Mark, clearly that person does not belong to Jesus Christ. But there are people, Chris, in houses with manicured lawns, with children who look perfect, who are destined for eternal punishment because they do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. And so absolutely what Susan said is we all need to keep that. It's a hard thing. It's a hard thing to wake up in the morning, and you can't take the weight of that on yourself, okay, because you're not responsible for where someone ends up ultimately, but you are responsible for living faithfully and for telling your neighbors. You know, I've had a lot of people tell me, we need to love our neighbor. We need to do X, Y, and Z at this time. Let's love our neighbor. And I've said, have you gone to your neighbor's home and said, let me tell you about what I believe about God and about death. Let me tell you that I believe that God became a man, that he suffered and died because of your sin, my sin and your sin, and he rose again. So we don't have to be afraid today or tomorrow. We can have hope that passes through death into the new heavens and the new earth. Yes, we need to be bold. We need to go, and we need to. And if you do that, to get back to again, the last thing is to say to Susan's question: if you do that, if you go, if you even tell your one coworker, if you even try to witness to the waitress at the, you know, the server at the restaurant, Satan is going to come at you with a ferocity you have not felt, and you will be reminded very quickly that you are on a battlefield. But guess what? We are heralds of the conquering king. And we do not need to be afraid, and we do not need to shrink back. We need to be bold.
We have, in fact, I'm going to read this question, and then I'll have you answer it when we come back from our final break. We have a question from Christopher in Western Suffolk County, Long Island, New York. And Christopher says, how do you balance speaking the truth about sin and calling to people to repentance and also showing them the love of Christ? There was obviously something about Christ that drew sinners to want to share company with him. Are we always supposed to be hammering on people with their sin? At the same time, how can we be truthful to them without bringing it up? And I'm thinking specifically about, for instance, if you have a waiter or waitress in a restaurant who is overtly homosexual in their mannerisms or transgendered, do we have to bring that up while they are serving our food to us, or can we just say something about the love of Christ and try to develop relationships with them where those truths will come up eventually? And we will definitely have you respond to that, Pastor Jeremy, after our final break. This is going to be a lot more brief than the other breaks. So please, folks, if you intend to send in a question as well, send it in quickly because we are rapidly running out of time. Again, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Give us your first name at least, your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. We'll be right back, so don't go away.
Hello, dear ones. My name is Justin Peters, and my friend Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and I are frequently blessed to share great times of fellowship with one another at conferences all over the United States. We will both be enjoying more fellowship together at the G3 conference in Atlanta, Georgia, Thursday, September 30th through Saturday, October the 2nd, on the theme, Christ is Supreme Over All. I'll be speaking there along with over 20 other speakers, including John MacArthur, Phil Johnson, Vodi Balcom, Joel Beakey, and James White. For details, visit g3conference.com. That's g3conference.com. Please join Chris Arnzen and me September 30th through October the 2nd at G3 2021. This is Justin Peters reminding you that Christ is supreme over all.
The Wokeness in the Gospel Conference is coming to Denton Bible Church in Denton, Texas, June 11th and 12th. Register now by going online to wokenessandgospel.org. Featuring speakers such as Dr. Owen Strand.
If you just buy this ideology,
the world's going to be made right. No, it's not. Only Jesus Christ makes the world right.
Daryl Harrison of the Just Thinking Podcast.
Sinners like you and me can be reconciled first and foremost to God and consequently to one another.
Pastor Tom Buck of First Baptist Church in Lindale, Texas.
Like Satan in the garden, woke hermeneutics undermines the very authority of the Word of God. I don't say that lightly.
Also hear from Tommy Nelson, Charles Stolfus, and Rodney Brown, confronting the lies being impressed upon the culture today, threatening even to divide the church, and answering with the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Wokeness and the Gospel Conference coming to Denton Bible Church, June 11th and 12th. Register online at wokenessandgospel.org.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, Professor of Apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love. Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
Getting a driver's license, running a cash register, flipping burgers, passing sixth grade. Do you know what they all have in common? They all require training, assessments, and certifications. But do you know what requires no training at all? Becoming a parent. My name is A.M. Brewster. I'm the president of Truth, Love, Parent, and host of its award-winning podcast. I've been a biblical family counselor since the early 2000s, and what I've discovered is that the majority of Christian parents have never been biblically equipped to do the work of the ministry in their homes. That's why Truth, Love, Parent exists. We serve God by equipping dads and moms to be the ambassador parents God called and created them to be. We produce free parenting resources, train church leaders, and offer biblical counseling so that the next generation of dads and moms can use the scriptures to parent their children for life and godliness. Please visit us at truthloveparent.com.
We are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family, Banu Gotti, owner of three New York pharmacies, Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists, and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead. Banu Gotti earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable on the current coronavirus pandemic. Please contact Dr. Gotti so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000. That's 516-354-2000. Or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's L-E-E-S, drugsrx.com. Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnzen is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written Word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody's ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, professor of apologetics and Islam at the Toronto Baptist Seminary, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jeff Downs of Knox Reformed Presbyterian Church in Mechanicsville, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Mark Grimaldi of Grace Reformed Baptist Church of Long Island in Merrick, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Scott Basolo of the Master's Church of Bucks County, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Kevin Vigneault of the Bible Church of Port Washington, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Andrew Smith of Christ Reformed Community Church in St. Augustine, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Clint Leiter of Highway Inn Chapel, Sedalia, Missouri, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Anchored in Truth Ministries is the mission arm of Grace Life Church of the Shoals. Based in Alabama, it supports missionaries in over 13 countries around the world. Anchored in Truth is in partnership with 36 church plants, as well as radio stations, theological seminaries, and various programs for unreached people groups. With an aim to glorify God and reach the nations with the gospel, it is a blessing to see how God has used Anchored in Truth in so many different contexts globally as well as locally. To find out more about this vital work worldwide, visit anchoredintruth.org.
Welcome back, and Pastor Jeremy Christopher in Western Suffolk County, Long Island, New York, was basically asking about the correct balance to strike when we are communicating with the lost. And, you know, there are those that have a tendency to just want to hit people with their sin, like they're hitting them over the head with a hammer, and they come off as self-righteous. They come off as if they themselves did not need to be delivered from their own sin. And then you have those who have a mushy-gushy approach to Christianity, who never ever mention sin and just want to build up people and make them feel good about themselves and let them have more of a salved conscience to continue in life without ever feeling a need to repent. And obviously, Both ways, both of those extremes, I'm sure you would agree, are the easy way out. Some of the fundamentalists listening, if there are any, might take objection to that, thinking, how is it easy to preach against sin? Well, it's easy if it involves no risk, an investment of you to get involved with people's lives and show them that you care about them and love them. And then at the same time, the other extreme is also there's no risk involved because you're not offending anybody. But if you could, I think it's a very good question and one that has practical issues involved in our day-to-day evangelism.
Yeah, I think it is important to have the balance or to be self-aware when you're evangelizing and when you're anytime you're talking to an unbeliever. I think what did the Apostle Paul say? He said, it is him we proclaim, not ourselves, him being the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the more we can point people away from ourselves to the Lord Jesus, I think even in the question Christopher was referencing how Jesus was attractive. He wasn't attractive to everybody. We need to remember that. I'm going through the Gospel of Mark right now.
Yeah, the religious people especially didn't find him attractive.
The religious elite who were challenged by his authority and his appearing did not like him. But it says, you know, I preached on the passage where Jesus called Levi and he's eating with the tax collectors and sinners. Jesus responds to them and says, I came not to call the righteous but sinners. Even the Lord Jesus did not, he didn't fail to say, yeah, they're sinners. And you know what? They know they're sinners. They know when you're talking to, you know, apart from the most ardent, militant, you know, and even those folks have all their own baggage and all their own complexities and the things that have happened to them in their life. But when you're talking to the average unbeliever, there's misery in their life, and people are just more and less willing to talk to you about it and to let you in on the darkness that they wrestle with. And, you know, specifically for the homosexual, it is important to say that homosexuality is sin because that's what the Bible says. But, you know, I've been going through the Ten Commandments recently, and I just preached on the Ninth Commandment about do not bear false witness, and I try to be very clear about the fact that gossip is a huge sin, and Christians should be just as ashamed about gossip as they should about a whole other spectrum of sins. And it's important to, I think this is why, you know, I think big conferences are really important, and I'm glad we have them, and I hope to go to them throughout my time as a pastor, but I also think it's important for Christians to just be ordinarily faithful in their everyday life and to not be afraid to tell their neighbor that I'm a Christian and that I believe in the Lord Jesus and I want you to also, and then to just live your life in front of them and let them just, you know, get to know you and see you. You know, you talk about the example of the person in the restaurant. If you have these short, brief encounters, yeah, that's not a lot of time. But we are called in all of our conversations to let them be seasoned with salt. And, you know, if you're mentioning Christ in a spirit of humility and love, you're always blessing the person that you're speaking to, whether they respond positively or not.
Right.
Because you're sharing the name of the one whose name means salvation.
Yeah, there's also a difference between someone that you know, if like you're a new pastor in town. You know that there are people that work and live in this community that you can eventually get to know by revisiting these places of work like restaurants. And just like the pastor that invited Rosaria Butterfield over his home to share dinner with him and his wife, that was a relationship that was built. This man did not just constantly bring up her sin and hit her over the head with a hammer like we were just mentioning. And also, there's a difference between that and, let's say, you are on the side of a street and you see a gay pride event where people are blaspheming God. You're never going to see that person again or those people. There is a different practical approach that might be taken, or even on a seat on a bus or a train or a plane. So. Obviously a very complicated issue when it comes to the practical approach that we don't have time for. But in fact, I think we should have you back on so that we could further explore this topic. I want to make sure that our listeners have your contact information. It's RedeemerOPC.org, RedeemerOPC.org. I want to thank you so much for being such an excellent guest. I want to thank all of our listeners today, especially those who took the time to write. I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.
Thanks a lot, Chris.
Thank you, brother.